Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service here at Shotgate Baptist Church. Today is the 16th of August 2020, and this is another of our online worship services recorded remotely due to the current pandemic and social distancing situation. We trust that most people have received the letter to the church along with the accompanying guidance that was sent out earlier this week, summarizing the plans and preparations for us to resume services at the church building and gathering together to worship as a church. All efforts are being made to try to make sure that everyone is reached and that we all get a copy of those documents. But if by any chance anyone has not received their letter, please do let us know and we'll make sure you get a copy, because it's quite important that everyone gets a copy and we all read through and understand the contents. The letter has been circulated via emails for those on emails and by post for those who would access it that way, and also on the church WhatsApp group. As you'll appreciate, these are unprecedented times, and so effort is being made to ensure that we maintain safety for everyone, as well as to be compliant with all the guidelines that we need to be compliant with, and at the same time to ensure that people feel safe and confident enough to attend services as much as is possible. And we want to come together as a church and worship God as a body of Christ and as a fellowship. So we want to balance all these at the same time, and that's what we're trying to do. The whole document may look a bit wordy, but the request is that people would read through, and in the usual culture of Shotgate Baptist Church, all ideas are welcome and valued. And so please feel free to share or to ask any questions that may come up. Please feel free to ask and to share any ideas that that do come up as we read through and as we prepare. You'll also realize that there is a request for everyone to indicate whether they'll be able to attend, particularly on that first service of the 6th of September, so that people can have an idea of the numbers and be able to plan. So please do feel free to communicate this to the leadership in any way, be it over the phone, via messaging and phone messaging, emails, or word of mouth, or in any way that you can pass the message through to say that whether you can or cannot attend for the 6th of September. We are trying to put something in place for the service to be available online, possibly live. That's once we've gone back to the church building to be able to put the service live online. But that is still work in progress. And so we'll see how that goes. If that comes through, that will be great. And the typed out service will continue to be available and sent out to those who may not be able to attend back in the church building. And all going well, we have two more online services before we resume back at the church building. And so let's continue to pray for God's grace through these changes and through these plans and these efforts, and that the witness of God's kingdom will continue to be manifest in our fellowship. And I invite us to quieten our hearts at this moment and gather our thoughts as we come to the Lord in prayer, as we begin our service for today. And Gary is leading us in the opening prayer today.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us as we go through very strange times where we don't meet together as church, and as we feel sometimes insecure in what's happening. We thank you that you are sovereign in all things. You have a plan, you have a purpose. So help us to have the confidence to know that control all things. Help us to use this time for benefit. May we see the benefit of every opportunity, whether or not we speak to people about the pandemic or we try to encourage one another. But we thank you, Lord, that we can use this time for your glory. We thank you for all the good things that you have given us, that we live in this land, that we have good health service and we have food. And Lord, because so many people in so many lands are suffering so much more, help us to remember the poor, the thing that the Apostle Paul was very eager to do. So Lord, as we continue, we pray that you may open our hearts and minds, that we may hear the word of God, and that we will grow at this time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary, for leading us in the opening prayer. And Pam is leading us in the first pair of songs today as we join together praising and worshiping God in music. Our first song is Praise Him on the Trumpet, and then followed by He is Lord. Let's join together in unity of heart and sing to the Lord and give Him the glory. Over to you, Pam. Thank you, Pam, for leading us in those songs as we praising and worshiping God together. We continue with our reflections today around the Lord's Prayer as we as we started a few weeks ago, as recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15, under the theme, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. In addition to that theme passage, our reading today is from verses 25 to 34 of that same chapter, Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. And Ella is kindly giving us the reading today. And so over to you, Ella.
The reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ella, for the reading. You may have noticed that the first petitions in the Lord's Prayer are directed at God. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The focus there is on God, is on his name, on his kingdom, and on his will. And that is the attitude and the starting point of prayer, to acknowledge and be aware that primarily the whole exercise is not about us, but is about God. It's about his name being glorified on earth as it is in heaven. It's about his kingdom, his rule, and his dominion coming on earth and being on full display and manifestation as it is in heaven. It's about his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, yet not my will, but yours be done. This is the starting point and the foundation of prayer, the standpoint and the basis of all prayers, from prayers of intercession to prayers of praise and prayers of thanksgiving. In prayer, we acknowledge God as the ultimate authority over our affairs, over all things, that everything that we are or we have or we can do is from him and is through him. That in him we live and move and we have our being. Prayer acknowledges God as the center and the source of our being. And this may sometimes feel like it weakens us. It's like something that puts us in a weaker or somewhat fragile position where we acknowledge our limitations and our frailty and that we are fully subject to God and dependent on him. But that's not a position of weakness at all. On the contrary, it's a position of strength. It's strength because by doing so, we are reverting back to the manufacturer. We are returning our lives or whatever situations we are praying for back to God and inviting Him to give that situation a check over, so to speak. It's like if you really want a good service for your car or any gadget or anything that, for that matter, you are better off taking it to the manufacturer, to the same garage as the make of your car, because you are assured, or at least you should be assured, that any problem they will fix, they will fix it in a satisfactory manner using genuine parts and in accordance with the intentions of how that vehicle was manufactured. You get an authentic, or at least that's the idea, to get an authentic and genuine diagnosis from the manufacturer of any problems, and they are the ones who are best placed to fix it. And so the opening petitions of the Lord's Prayer are, as it were, a reverting to the manufacturer, a focusing on God, on His sovereignty, and on His majesty. The Lord's Prayer then seems to change gear a little bit in verse 11, where it says, "Give us our daily bread." Give us our daily bread. This is the first time in this course of this prayer that it focuses on us or our needs. Now, standing on the knowledge and the acknowledgement of the supremacy and the sovereignty of God, we then take our requests to God. We present our intercessions to Him. The passage we are reading from today, verses 25 to 34 of Matthew chapter 6, seem to put perspective to this prayer, to say that while we are praying to God for our daily needs, we need to do so free of worry and anxiety. This is a call to faith and to trusting in God, so that while we may not know what our tomorrow holds for us, we stand on the truth that we know who holds our future, and we trust Him with it. We trust God with our tomorrow. The call not to worry does not suggest or simply imply recklessness and carelessness. It does not suggest presumptuous or callous acts, but rather it is to say that as you go about your daily work, your daily routines, as you go about your day-to-day commitments, you do so with faith and with hope, as opposed to being driven and overridden by fear. Not even fear of the unknown or the unknowable, but with faith, knowing that, as it says in verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that He knows what you need. He knows every need. This seems to be tapping back into that opening passage of the Lord's Prayer to say that your Father, our Father in heaven, the one whose name is glorified, the one whose kingdom has come, and whose will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that same Father, He knows our needs and is able to take care of them. Our daily bread carries a sense of everydayness. We use the expression bread and butter, like bread and butter issues, meaning those issues that are pertinent to people's day-to-day living, those things that we need on a day-to-day basis. God knows them and He's interested in them. This notion is carried beautifully in the description of how God cares for the birds and the flowers, how He grows them, feeds them, and dresses them up in all great splendor. It's as though Jesus points at the basic needs in Maslow's hierarchy of needs and says, God cares about those basic needs as well. And so when He says in verse 34 that do not worry about tomorrow, Again, this is something of a reflection on, give us today our daily bread. It's sometimes said that many times the things we worry about are those things that we cannot change. For if we could change them, we would have changed them. But because we can't change them, we tend to worry about them instead. Yes, there is a dosage of healthy concern in one's affairs. One can be concerned in a healthy way. But if it goes unchecked, or when overdosed on it, as it were, this can potentially go further to unhealthy levels. One can get paralyzed by worry and get sleepless nights with anxiety, worrying about those things they have no power over. Jesus provides an antidote for this worry and this anxiety. He says, remember that you have a Father in heaven who is concerned about your affairs, who's concerned about your day-to-day living, your bread and butter issues. God is interested and actively participating in the affairs of our lives. He's not a passive bystander waiting and watching, but he is involved, he is hands-on, and he's active in our day-to-day living. And when he talks about the birds of the air being fed by God, and the beautiful flowers being clothed by him, it may bring up some of those themes in our minds that we touched on, particularly when we reflected on the Psalms, about God's glory and majesty being displayed in nature. The sound of the birds and the sound of the sea, the rain and the trees, the beauty in the flowers and the blowing, the wind blowing, and all creation reminds us of the greatness and sustenance of God. And it builds our faith, it builds our hope. It reminds us that God is the maker and the sustainer. And so the encouragement to us is that when we pray and say, give us today our daily bread, we do so with faith and confidence in God. That we are praying through the one who said in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Jesus carries this theme of prayer and of God's provision and sustenance into the next chapter, into chapter 7 of Matthew, where he goes on to say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And in teaching and underlining this point, he gives an illustration about natural parents, that if a child were to ask for bread, they wouldn't give him a stone, but would give him what he's asked for. If the son asked for a fish, the parent wouldn't give him a snake. And Jesus concludes that as natural fathers, as natural parents will do that, would give a child what the child is asking for, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That familiar punchline, how much more will our Father in heaven give us? Again, he features God as the Father, as our Father who is in heaven, and as that Father who will give us today our daily bread. And what a source of faith and a source of confidence in God, that he is our Father and he is concerned about our day-to-day lives and our day-to-day needs. And he's active in providing for us. He is our provider. And if we pray, he hears our prayers. He hears our knocking and he answers it. He hears our asking and he answers it. He notices our seeking and he makes things fall in place for us. And verse 33 of our reading is sometimes viewed as the summit of this passage. It turns from the negative emphasis of do not be anxious to to the positive tone of, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Amen. And our closing song, Sue is going to lead us in our closing song, and it's going to be that energetic song, Come On and Celebrate His Gift of Love. So let's join together and celebrate the goodness of God and his gift of love to us in this song. Over to you, Sue. Thank you, Sue, for leading us in that celebratory song, celebrating the gift of the love of God. And in closing, shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Shall we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being part of the service. May the Lord bless you. May God's blessing rest on you, now and forevermore. Amen. And this marks the end of our service today. And do remember to keep safe, keep in touch, and keep the faith. God bless you.